and welcome to Excuse My ADHD, a podcast for adults with or who think they may have ADHD. I'm your host, Jeanette, and this is my journey. Welcome back to Excuse My ADHD, episode 3, I Will Wait. So I told you guys last time about how I wanted to talk about pharmacogenomic testing. And I will, I promise, but I want to get back it up just a little bit and talk about how the subject came up in the first place. So my husband does a lot of business trips, and this was one night while he was gone. I don't remember where he went, but I was sitting in the bedroom alone and I was working on my bullet journal, and I was thinking about how tired I was of trying all these meds and just waiting to see how they will work, thinking that I had spent 2 years with a doctor that really wasn't doing anything to help, but renewing my Strattera prescription and not really listening when I said how exhausted I was on it. And I mean, these were like literally 10-minute online visits at best. But anyway, so earlier in that day, in the shower, which oddly enough seems to be where I get my best ideas, I thought about how it would be so awesome if there was a test you could take that would take your DNA and be able to tell you what drugs will give you the fewest side effects with the highest results, you know, because we have, 23andMe and Ancestry.com and all of that stuff already, so why not? And, you know, it could tell you if you were a rapid metabolizer and you need to take a higher dose because you burn through it quicker, or if you had a slower metabolism, then you could start on a lower dose because the medication stays in your system longer. You could learn, you know, what medication will actually be the best without the fewest side effects. And maybe, just maybe, you wouldn't feel like a guinea pig so much going back and forth looking for the right combination, the right dosage, or just even the right medication. So during an email conversation with my doctor, my primary care doctor, I brought up my ideas, and she was like, well, you know, it just so happens we've contracted with this new company that has this test and that's what they do. And I was like, wait, say what now? You have got to be freaking kidding me. Why did no one tell me this before? You know, before I started taking anything, why was this the first time someone offered me this instead of, you know, the first time medication was on the table? So after all that and realizing that, you know, this is awesome, my doctor told me it's called pharmacogenomic testing. And basically, the company takes DNA from your saliva, kind of like what they do with the ancestry tests. And it looks at your alleles, your proteins, different mutations that you carry, etc. And they look at how the results of your DNA react with certain medications. So the Mayo Clinic defines the testing as the study of how your genes affect your body's response to medications. Well, in the classic ADHD fashion, I immediately am like, yes, let's do it today. But I'm trying very hard to work on my excitement and impulsivity, so I sat on it. I read about the company a little bit and what the test they run consists of. Basically, they were running genetic testing against all of the different ADHD medications, looking for possible interactions, contradictions, side effects, metabolism rates, etc. This is the part that is absolute torture for me. Waiting. And there was a ton of waiting. So I had to wait for the doctor to put in the order for the test just so I could get a login for an account so I could pay for the test. Then I had to wait to get the test kit in the mail. And in the test kit, it was just a box. Inside of a box. With this odd shaped plastic tube and instructions. And I had like 5 minutes or something ridiculous to get a really large amount of spit into this tube. So you're probably thinking, oh yeah, that's no big idea. Be a little, you know, you can get that done, no problem. No. Think again. So first of all, you can't eat for like an hour before this. And then you can't even drink as much as, you can't even drink water for a whole 30 minutes before you do the test. After filling this tube to the line, which felt like it took forever, you put it in the snail mail box, and this one you got sent off to California, so more waiting to confirm that the company received my spit. And then the whole time, you know, while I'm waiting, I'm like, crap, okay. So my brain is thinking, is it too hot outside? Will the sample be degraded by the heat in the mail truck? Will I have to do the whole spit thing again? And then finally I got the email several days after I mailed the package that it was received. And now I had to wait for the sample to be tested to make sure that it was enough and a good enough sample that they could test. This was another worst part about it, was because they tell you it takes like 4 to 6 or 6 to 8 weeks. I can't remember which one it was. But it's, again, it's, I was checking the website multiple times a day, waiting to see if the results were in. I don't know if, this is part of, just part of the ADHD or the OCD that I have or both. So finally, after all this waiting and completely just obsessively checking my phone, I finally get the ping that there's a notification from the app. I'm like, woohoo, my results were in, like right at the 5 week mark, I think it was. So I get logged in and I start reading through the results, and I realize, I'm like, I don't know what any of these medications are or what they treat. So I started looking them up online, and not a single one of my results was for an ADHD medication. I was crushed. I thought I had just wasted all of that money and all of that time and all of that spit for nothing. At least nothing related to my ADHD. And this really deflated me, because the whole purpose was to narrow down the field. So I did start reading through the results, and I found that, you know, some useful stuff. There are some medications that I metabolize slower, so I need a smaller dosage because it stays in my system longer. There was a drug that they use to kind of paralyze your muscles when you're under general anesthesia. And apparently I'm a super low metabolizer of that one. So if I had gone into surgery and had general anesthesia, there's a chance that when they took me off of it, my lungs would be slow to function on their own. So they would possibly have to keep me on a respirator. So yeah, this was good to find out before I had to have major surgery. I mean, I don't really want to die on a surgery table or when they put me in recovery and take me off oxygen. Okay, I mean, if I didn't find anything else out, that alone made it worth about the $400 I paid for it. I mean, even though I knew I was going to have to be a guinea pig, I tried to stay positive because I had a doctor's appointment coming up that Friday, and I could talk to her about the results and see if there was anything else. And I was hoping that maybe I just wasn't reading something right, or that I was missing something. And well, as it turns out, the company sent my doctor a completely different report than what they sent me, which just seemed really odd since, you know, it's my DNA. I paid for the report. I feel like I should have all of the results. But she got this whole comprehensive report that included what I had, but most importantly, all of the ADHD drug results were there too. So it was like breath of fresh air. It was like I felt better. And so she gave me a copy of the full report, which was nice. And it had all kinds of helpful information on it about how I am a rapid metabolizer of Strattera, which, you know, that kind of explains a lot about, you know, why I had to be on such a high dosage of it to get the effects and why I seemed to be going through it so quickly. I mean, I think I was on 80 milligrams just to get a good benefit from it. And my body was just burning through it too fast. The methylphenidates, like the Ritalin, Concerta, they were shown to be the most effective for me, but they also have the highest risk of adverse side effects. So once we finished reviewing the results, we started discussing what the next steps were going to be. The Strattera dosages had to be high to receive a benefit, and since it's really hard on your liver, they want you to my doctor had me taking liver blood work every year at my regular checkup just to make sure that my liver wasn't being badly affected. So, you know, you kind of really don't want to go on it because I had to have such a high dose, and then all of the issues I had with Vyvanse and making me a monster in the evening, so that really wasn't a good option either. So she suggested we try Adderall XR, which, you know, XR is for the extended release, because, you know, just getting through work isn't enough for a mom. And I know dads do a lot too. I don't want to discount their role at all, but when you're a mom, it's just a little bit different. Dads get alone time, but moms, it's always like, mommy, 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 dads get to go to the bathroom. I mean, who would have thought that one day going to the bathroom by yourself would be like a mini vacation? So like, you can go in the bathroom and be there for 10 minutes or more and kids won't bother you. I go to the bathroom for 2 minutes and I tell the kids where I'm going. Next thing I know, mommy, mommy, mommy. People knocking on the door. I mean, it's like 10 times they'll be yelling at me within like 5 seconds. And it's like the kids have this radar. And if mommy is not within 10 feet, an alarm goes off and they have to find you. But then, you know, the other side of that is once that alarm goes off, it's like the starting bell of a boxing match and all hell breaks loose. Kids start fighting when, you know, they were perfectly quiet and doing nothing when you got up to go to the bathroom. But as soon as that door shuts and you sit down on that toilet, boom, it's like everything goes crazy. But anyway, so I got my script and I was filling it to give it a shot, trying to stay optimistic, hoping that this would be, you know, the one that solved my problems. Similar focus to Vyvanse, but without the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde transformation in the evenings. And so this was also about the same time where I thought I should start seeing someone for talk therapy or like a coach, just someone to kind of help me get through it. And so I started seeing a licensed clinical social worker for coaching and trying to, I guess, get through all the acceptance. For the intro appointment, I basically said, I want to take the test. I want to have a definitive answer that some scientific test is telling me, yes, this is your diagnosis. So despite having two doctors, my husband, and like every online test all say I have ADHD, for some reason it wasn't clicking that was good enough. And I don't know, I guess maybe it was because I didn't actually do all of the rigorous testing that I've heard about and that I've read about, and I had, you know, come to expect it, but it made me feel like maybe they were wrong because I hadn't done that testing and that testing hadn't told me that that's what I have. I mean, I know it's irrational, but that's what it is. So my therapist gave me a test at the next visit, and it was like 10 questions. And so she asked me each question and to explain how the things I said yes to rated on a scale. And so, I mean, I don't even remember what the scale was, but I had to go through and talk about how they affected all the different aspects and times in my life. And the whole thing took about 45 minutes because, you know, tangents and sidetracks and ADHD. But every answer was pretty much yes, and I could give her all the examples from throughout my life. Examples from when I was a little girl, when I was in high school, college, work, home, and how each symptom played a role in all of the areas of my life. And originally, before I took the test, she said I wouldn't get an answer until the next time because she would have to score it. Well, after listening to my rambling, she was like, yeah, I don't even need to score this because I can tell you that, yes, you are ADHD. And then, you know, she did go back and score to tell, I guess, what type I had. And it came back that I was combination type with primary inattentive. And yeah, that made sense. So, you know, there was no time for anything else. So we didn't do the psychoanalysis to test for mood disorders. And this one was less rambling, more yes, rated as X, Y, or Z. And so it was a couple of pages long. I think this one maybe 35 questions or more. And this one she did actually have to score. And so I had to wait for the results. But what came back shocked me a little bit because I wasn't expecting it. But then after thinking about it, I'm like, yeah, it probably shouldn't have shocked me at all. So as you already know, ADHD, or maybe you don't, but ADHD, or at least about 50% of the time, comes with friends. So for me, my ADHD comes with OCD, which is, it's for me, it's like obsessive thoughts, I guess, and not really, I don't have to count things X number of times or touching them, or obsessive hand washing that you kind of think is a stereotypical OCD behavior that, you know, centralizes around germs or something. But I can tell you, when I lived with my parents' house, my hangers were somewhat color-coded to match my clothes, which was pretty easy because I pretty much only wore blue as my favorite color. And even now, I still tend towards blue for everything. And I've kind of done the same thing for my husband's side of the closet. Anytime he asks me what I think about his shirt, I'm like, oh, that would look really good, but in blue. So I try purposefully not to do that anymore. But anyway, so, you know, your closet, clothes start to get crowded, and I would finger space them. This is something that I was taught when I worked at Express, the clothing store, is that you finger space them on the racks. And so that's what I did with my clothes. I would finger space them, and then I also further categorized my clothes. Like for shirts, it would be no sleeves, short sleeves, three-quarter sleeves, long sleeves. But, you know, again, I feel like most of the quirks I have with folding or hanging clothes is from my time in retail. At least that's the story I'm sticking to. Where I work now, I have these reports in spreadsheets. So they're financial reports. I work with a lot of spreadsheets. So, for example, say you have a cell, and that cell is bordered all the way around, but one side of it, for some reason, is like thick bolded or not bordered at all, that I can't look at the rest of the spreadsheet. That's it. I will fixate on that until it's fixed. And formatting is very important. I guess I do have obsessive thoughts about other things, but anyways, I have OCD. Interpersonal sensitivity was another result of the test, which is how well one reads other people and how you respond to them. I don't know if it's like similar to being an empath or a highly sensitive person, but it seems to be a little bit. I need to read some more on that. Might do an episode on that one. It came back as hostile. She thought that one was probably more because of the side effects from the Vyvanse. Depression, which I didn't know I was depressed, but apparently I am. And the last one was that I have just a little bit of anxiety, but as she was talking to me, she thought that, you know, situational-based anxiety that most people get. But the funny thing was about that a couple years ago, I think it was right, but it was before I got tested the first time, before I saw a doctor the first time, right after my third car accident. It was that weekend. I think the car accident was probably like on a Tuesday or Wednesday or something. And that Saturday, I had gotten diagnosed with GAD, or general anxiety disorder. So I'd gotten up, I'd eaten eggs for breakfast, which, you know, we usually do eggs, sausage, biscuits. That's kind of like our Saturday breakfast. And I just had this really full feeling, like right under my breastbone, like right where your stomach is, and like right in the middle of my chest. And I was getting ready to take my daughters to a birthday party, and my husband was getting ready to take my son to a basketball game. Well, as the morning went on, I was feeling worse and worse. And then I just had like this horrible, intense pain in my chest, and it just went like straight through my back to under my shoulder blade. Well, you know, obviously, what's the first thing you do? despite how many times people tell you, do not Google it, do not Google it. Oh yeah, I Googled it. I totally Googled it. And those symptoms were pointing towards a heart attack. So at this point, I am in full freakout mode, analyzing every little twinge, every little anything. So I had my husband take me to urgent care, who promptly directed me to the ER, because apparently if anything heart-related, they want you to go straight to the ER. Well, at the ER, they get you back real quick for two things, is what I've found out. One, if you say you think you're having a heart attack, and two, you think you or your child has a staph or MRSA infection. So I was hooked up to all of these machines and everything was fine. They did the echo and all of that. Everything came back. My heart was great. I was perfectly healthy. So I was like, well, then what the hell is going on? So next they started asking me all these questions about stress and anxiety and my job. And I told them about my week and the accident. And they started me on what they call a GI cocktail, which I looked it up. And it's Mylanta, which is an antacid, like you can buy in the store. And then lidocaine, which numbs the esophagus. And then it's a drug called Donatol, and they gave it to you for abdominal pain. So the doctor came in and said what I thought was a heart attack was actually an esophageal spasm. So my esophagus was having spasms, kind of like a muscle spasm. And they said that it can mimic the symptoms of a heart attack, like sudden intense chest pain, shoulder blade pain, which, you know, occurs more often in women than men, apparently. And so I was released with about a dozen medications that I had to take for 2 weeks to make sure everything got better. And that was fun because, you know, it's not like I have a hard enough time as it is. So now I had to take some in the morning, some in the afternoon, some X hours before I ate, some X hours after I ate. They had to be so many hours apart. And believe me when I say, I don't think I could have been any happier than I was on day 14 when I could quit taking all of those medications. Like, I literally had to have a checklist just for the medications. I felt like I was some, like, I don't even know what, because on top of those, I also had to take my regular medications. I had to take the ADHD meds. I had to take my allergy meds. And it was like, I think I had, like, I took a picture and I had a whole just stack of pill bottles. But so they also told me it wouldn't be a bad idea to stay away from eggs, which I have pretty much ever since, except for the occasional Starbucks bake a Gouda breakfast sandwich. I take the bacon off because it's never crispy, because, you know, well, you gotta have crispy bacon. To get off that tangent, I guess the most surprising comorbidity for me was the OCD. Again, when you think about it, it's pretty obvious that some of my quirks are OCD. I mean, I think I've joked about having OCD for a long time, just not knowing how true it was. Even after taking both tests, I was more easily able to accept the comorbidities that I had than the actual ADHD itself. And sometimes it still doesn't seem real, and I don't know why. I can't explain it. It feels like either the exam wasn't thorough enough, or maybe I'm just that obviously ADHD that no one ever knew. And if the latter, it seems to be the most feasible after reading and learning more about it. Looking back at my life, it seems pretty obvious. If multiple testing, my husband, doctors didn't convince me that I have ADHD, it's pretty obvious I'm having acceptance issues. So I also haven't gone through, you know, any of the other rigorous testing I was told about. And sometimes I think maybe that's why. That I was so set on that was the way it should be done, that I wasn't allowing for anything else to be the proper way. So circling back now, because ADHD storytelling is a long convoluted mess, and I'm going to include a link to an infographic in the show notes from a cartoonist that pretty much explains exactly how my storytelling goes. Okay, so that's yet another tangent. If anybody is keeping score, I say we just turn this into a drinking game. And anytime I get off onto a tangent and can't get back on track, shot or chug. Seriously, though. So after getting the pharmacogenomic testing, way back to what I was talking about earlier, the ADHD specific test and the other psychoanalysis test, I'm still trying to get the right treatment. Therapy combination for my friend ADHD and all of his friends is not the easiest thing to do. I guess it's what they call a complex case. I don't know. I tried 15 milligrams of Adderall and didn't really feel anything. Tried 20 milligrams of Adderall. Nothing. I mean, you know, I feel like I've had a couple cups of coffee, but I don't really feel like the focus is there like it should be. So I think when I'm done, I want to try one of the methylphenidates. And I know that there's more risk with that, but I feel like if I don't try it, then I'm still going to have that feeling of what if. And, you know, if I try it and I have a bad side effect or it doesn't work, then I just stop. And we figure out of all the stuff that I've taken what the best option might be. And I've heard people take Vyvanse and Strattera together, so maybe that might be something that could help. I don't know. It's just going to have to talk to my doctor and see what she thinks. And on that note, I will call it a day. I do have some what they call housekeeping items, which I don't really understand why I call it housekeeping, because you weren't really cleaning the house. You're just kind of giving updates or news about whatever, you know. So I have some really exciting news. First of all, I was interviewed by registered psychotherapist, best-selling author, and keynote speaker Roxanne Derhodge. She is out of Ontario, Canada, and I wanted to try and give a different perspective on ADHD and share part of my story with those who don't know much about it, similar to how I was before being diagnosed. So I hope you guys will check it out and let me know what you think. The interview will go out on her podcast, Authentic Living with Roxanne Derhodge, on Global Voice Radio. So I will share the dates and the links when I get them. Again, that'll probably come out in about a week or two. And another exciting thing that I just found out today, I have a really cool interview coming up. I can't wait to tell you guys about it. So that interview will go down on the 27th and will be posted, I think it's October 7th. So when it gets closer to time, I'm going to start posting some more information about it, and I can't wait to hear your guys' thoughts on it. In the meantime, if you would like to share your story, which I would love to have you as a guest, so please head over to my website, www.excusemyadhd.com. Click the schedule link to get on my calendar for a pre-interview call, where I'll be happy to discuss everything with you. And don't worry, you don't have to use your real name. We can do it anonymously. I know it's that still being a stigma, people not wanting their work to find out or their friends necessarily. So we can do it under a different name. Until next time. Thank you for listening to Excuse My ADHD. If you like what you hear, don't forget to please subscribe, rate, and leave an awesome review. Show notes and social media links are available at www.excusemyadhd.com.